right, man. We're going to get back into the Word this week. We're going to go back to Philippians, but before we do that, man, I'm so thankful for the freedom that I have because of my Savior. The freedom that I have because He's placed me in this country and put me where I'm at. The freedom that we get to that we get to enjoy every day that people all over the world don't. We get to come to a place like this and worship. We have friends that live in another country, that live in Russia, and they have to worry every time they come home whether or not their home is still going to be there or not. You know, and that's something real that happens where the government decide they wanted their building and just take it while they're gone. And other friends of theirs through the church have come home and they've said, they've come at midnight and said, you have 30 minutes, get all your stuff and get out and carry what you can and the rest of it goes, you know. And we live in a place that we don't have to worry about that. That we even though we feel like we don't have the rights that we should, we still have way more freedoms than anybody else. We definitely have the freedom to say we don't like it, you know. Can't do that other places, you get in trouble, you know. We were going to go to visit over in Russia, man, and they said, well, you have to get a certain kind of a visa because if you come and you start speaking about Jesus and preaching and you don't have a preaching visa, they're going to kick you out. You have to be approved to come and be able to do that. You know, we have so many freedoms that we take for granted here in America, here in our lives. And we have so many freedoms that God has given us through His Son that sometimes we don't take advantage of that are there. And we need to remember that. So today, man, we're going to just enjoy God, His creation, what He's given to us, and be thankful to Him for what He's done. Let's pray real quick, and then I'm going to get into the book of Philippians. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You today for Your Son, for Your love, grace, and mercy, for the joy that You give us that can't be taken away according to Your Scripture, Father God. We ask that You'd let us see it. Let us be able to focus on it in the midst of our issues, in the midst of our problems, Father God. And I ask that You would help us today. Divide Your Word, help us see You, and help us just enjoy each other and what You've done for us. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, so we started last week in Philippians chapter 1, and I only got about halfway through because I get sidetracked a lot, y'all. Y'all know that by now, right? He said that's an understatement. I get sidetracked a lot, but I do believe that God made me that way for a purpose, right? He made me that way for a reason. And sometimes it works, and sometimes we just start over. So today, we're going to go through it, and it's going to work, man. It's going to be good. Philippians, the book of Philippians, Paul writes to the church at Philippi. It was a church that he had founded 10 years prior to that, which we talked about last week. And he's writing back to encourage them on two fronts, to do two things. The first one is to tell them how grateful he is because they sent things to him to help him. So he was saying, thank you for the gift that you've given me. Thank you for the support that you've given me. And we're going to read a little bit today. How many of you know sometimes somebody just saying that they're behind you and being there for you when you need them is all the support you need to keep going, right? We talked about last week about the memory, about how Paul talks in the first part of the chapter about how God brings things to his remembrance and it helps him to get through him. Memory is a powerful thing, and he gave it to us for a reason, not to use in the right way. How many of you know we can focus on the issues and the problems that we have, but we can also focus on what God has done in those, and it help us to get through and have joy, knowing that we're going to continue on. The next thing that we saw in the first part of the chapter is that God is not finished with me yet, right? There's still a process. There's still room for growth, and until I stand in front of him, there's going to be a change. Then we talked about how we are not alone. He put people to stand next to us, left and right of us, and that's one of the things that Paul was being thankful for. Hey, thank you that you stood beside me from the very beginning until right now. I mean, you know, sometimes you start the race with somebody, but they fall off in the middle of it, right? He's saying, thank you that you have stayed and supported me and been a part of this. And because of that, it helps me to continue on in the situation that I'm in. And then the last thing that we see, he loves them with the love of Christ. We're to have the love of Christ in our life. When we start looking at people with the love of Christ, the scripture said love covers a multitude of sins, right? So how does that work? That's not true. It is, man. Look at a mom whose kid is horrible, right? And I'm not just talking about acting bad. I'm talking about one of those guys been put in jail for murdering, for doing all these different things. And what does their mom say? Oh, he's such a good boy, right? Why? Because she loves him. And because of that, things go away. There's not a record of wrongs that's kept, right? And when we start looking at other people through those eyes, forgiveness comes. When we start looking at people in the middle of those situations with the eyes and the mind of Christ in them, you know what? Sometimes things go away. Sometimes they don't, and we got to deal with them, right? Just be honest. Sometimes we still have to walk through the process every day with it, but he allows us to have grace for them in that situation. And that's what he talked about in the first part. And if you missed that, we had some technical difficulties last week, so it didn't get to make it up on the website. Hopefully, we'll be able to correct those. We're still trying to work on it. But this week should be up later on this week. So you can go back. And I do have a set of notes. Kathy, these first ones are yours, because she's like, I wasn't here last week. I need some notes. I have mine from last week. But I can reprint them out every week if you guys need them. But anyway, in Philippians, Paul is writing from prison. It's not kind of the prison that we think of. As I was studying and going through different things, I got to understand that Paul was there. He was actually in Rome when he wrote this, right? Paul was on house arrest, kind of. He was in a home that he lived in, but he was guarded by Roman soldiers, and he couldn't leave. He had to stay there. Now, this was a two-year-long process that he was in, right? For 2 years, he was there under guard. While he had an appeal, when he was in Caesarea, he made an appeal to Caesar, and they brought him to Rome, and he was waiting on an audience with Caesar, and he was in prison while he was during that time. And so while he's standing there, and he's waiting to hear back, and we're going to hear in just a minute that he's kind of happy, he's bringing good news, he thinks that things are going to go well, he's still unsure about it. And so he's in this place where he's being tried solely because he loves Jesus. That's the only issue. That's the only problem. It's not about political stuff. It's not about anything. It's about he loves Jesus and he's preaching about him, and we don't like that. And at this time, Rome wasn't big against Christians yet. They were in the future, but at this time, it wasn't that way yet. But again, the purpose of the letter was to give them joy and to let the Philippians understand that even in the midst of the worst struggles of your life, you still have the joy of Christ there and available for you. You just have to find it. You guys remember an old book? It was a fun book that you played. I mean, I played as a kid. Y'all might not. It was Where's Waldo, right? You open up the book, and it was all this junk, and there was this little dude named Waldo somewhere in the picture, and you had to focus and try to find it, right? He was there, but sometimes you couldn't find it. Now, the joy of the Lord is not as hard to find as Where's Waldo, depending on your perspective on the situation, okay? Depending on your perspective, it's easy to find, but you know what? You can't find it if you're not looking. And sometimes we allow our situation to overtake us, and we start focusing on our problem instead of focusing on the joy of the Lord that should be in our life, what God is doing and can do and wants to do through our situation, through the issue that we have. See, because Jesus tells us, man, it's a gift that can never be taken away from us. Again, we used these verses last week, John 15, 11. It says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. John 16:22 says, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. You know, I remember the song. You know how a song gets in your head, and you just can't get it out of your head, right? I remember an old song we used to sing in church this whole week. As I was preparing last week, I didn't say nothing about it last week, but as I was preparing last week, and this whole week has just been in my head. Me and Shane were out fishing in kayaks like the other day, and it was just in my head the whole time. I like couldn't get out. But it's a song by Shirley Caesar, and it's called This Joy. You guys remember that? This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. I don't sing good, so I ain't going to keep singing. But it says that three times, and then it says the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away, right? This joy, it's always there. It doesn't leave us. It doesn't take a vacation. It is there. But the problem is sometimes we focus on everything else but the joy that the Lord has given us. It's not about happiness. Happiness is the definition. I'll read it. Emotions experienced when in a state of well-being, right? So happiness is being in a good place because good things are happening. Happiness happening, right? Joy is continual. It doesn't go away. It's always there, and it's in the middle of the darkest of times. And again, it should be celebrated in the middle of the good times as well. Paul's writing to encourage them, and no matter what the situation, man, look to the joy of the Lord. You can find it, and this is how I find it. We're going to pick up on verse 12, man, and in your notes, it says, that, well, first, before I get to that, verse 12 says, chapter 1, verse 12, says, I want you to know, brothers, that what happened to me really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become throughout the whole imperial guard, known throughout the whole imperial guard and to the rest that I am in prison for Christ. Again, he wasn't in prison because of political issues or any of these different things. He didn't do anything wrong. He was there solely because he preached Christ. And this is the thing, the entire time that he was in this prison for preaching Christ, do you know what he did to everybody that was around? Even the guards that were protecting him? He preached Christ. Do you know what should happen in our lives? No matter where we're at, we should preach Christ. No matter what our situation, we should preach Christ. Whether it's good or bad, whether it's the high times or the low times, we should share what Christ has done in our life. It's through the tough times that we actually get to see what our dedication to Christ is really all about. How much we love Christ during the tough times. Because somebody, like I said, it's easy to be happy with somebody when things are going well, right? I had this dog one time. His name was Jake. He was a boxer pit. Loved him. And they were like, I was like, man, I've never had an issue with him. He was like, well, have y'all ever been, has you ever made him do something he didn't want to do? And I'm like, well, no. He's like, well, wait till that time comes. You ain't going to be such a good dog, right? Now, he was, but it's the same principle in our lives, man. If things are going good, I love you, man. But when things go bad, what happens? The strength of our relationship is challenged in the hard times. And it's the same way with Christ. The strength of our relationship with him, how dedicated we are to him, how much we love him, how much we have him as our Lord and Savior, right? Not just our Savior, but our Lord. That's how it works. They're together. You can't just be saved and not have him be in control of your life. It doesn't work that way. So, in the tough times, that's when our dedication to Christ is really seen. When this letter is being written, again, he's in the Rome, being guarded. The trial would have already begun. They believe that it's either already begun or is about to take place right now. And after 2 years of sitting there and being imprisoned, how many of you know you'd be ready to get out of anything after 2 years, especially prison, right? Especially being guarded, especially having to stay locked up in one place. And again, we look at it as something that is not good, something that is hindering him or hindering the spread of the gospel. Well, I'm in this situation, so I can't do anything, right? We would think that. We would look at Joseph in his life. He got put into prison. He's like, well, I can't do anything here. I'm just going to mope, right? I'm going to be Eeyore right now. Just be sad about the whole world, right? But he didn't. He said, look, I'm here. I'm still going to do what God's called me to do. I'm still going to be. And because of that, the gospel was spread even further. Why? Because the imperial guard started hearing him day after day after day after day about Jesus. You know, after a while hearing about something, you start to, it takes hold in your mind. That's another good reason why you should be careful what you put in, what you listen to, what you watch, what you do. Because day after day after day, it takes a toll on your life. The people that you allow speak into your life, if they're negative, you know what? Day after day after day, you know what? You become negative. You have to watch those things. Be careful who you allow to speak into your life. But at this point, see, that bridge works both ways. If you're at work and you're upset and you're frustrated because nobody loves Jesus, maybe you should start talking about him more in a manner that's in the right way. Let me say that. Not throwing our Bibles at him and saying, well, y'all are doing wrong. Y'all need to do this. But just living your life, man. And allowing Jesus to come out. You know what? I prayed about this and God did this. I prayed about this and God did this. And I'm like, well, it just is coincidence. To you, maybe. To me, I prayed and God's God. It's funny how my coincidences always line up when I pray and ask God about things, right? It's funny how they all line up with when I ask God about it, I received it. It's funny how that happens. But maybe we should be sharing him more and more and more in our life with the people around us. And it's going to take an effect. It's going to take a hold. And they're going to start thinking about it. It's planting a seed and allowing God to take care of the growth of that seed. Paul is saying, in this prison, man, I've been faithful. And he's not boasting on himself, but what he's saying is everybody here knows that I'm here solely because of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we see in the very next verse, and most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They're much more bold. Did I tell you what the first verse, what the first one on your notes was? God will bring good out of every situation. God will bring good out of every situation. We look at it as he's in prison, he can't do anything, or we're in a bad situation, we can't do anything. But Paul is constantly looking at how can I share the gospel of Christ? And because of that, many people, the country of Rome started having Christians solely because of Paul being here and doing that ministry. Now, God could use other ways too. And we'll see in a minute that other people were preaching as well as Paul was. So it wasn't just Paul, but the boldness came because he was willing to stand up and not let fear get in the way of his life, his ministry. Number two in your notes, courage is contagious. Courage is contagious. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to jump off the roof. Sorry, Mom. We used to jump off the roof. And how many of you know we would all stand there until one of us was brave enough to do it? And then once one of us did it, the other ones had to do it too, because And then what happened? We all started just jumping off the roof, right? Why? Because courage is contagious, right? When I step out and I share, when I do some things that other people see, you know what? It gives them the opportunity to say, well, man, if he can do it, I can do it. Right? If he can get through that issue, I can get through that issue. But do you know what? The same token as that, fear is contagious as well. So what would have happened if Paul would have been in prison because he was speaking the gospel and he shut up? Guess what everybody else around him would do? Well, man, he does way better than me. But he ain't even going to say nothing, so I ain't going to say nothing. That happens in our lives too. People become more bold. People become more willing to speak about Christ when you start speaking about him. You know what? I'll start saying something and I'll say something about being a pastor. And then you know what? Like, whole conversations change and God comes out like four times in their conversation, right? Is it because they're changing because there's a pastor around? Or is it because they're around someone and now they're not afraid to speak what they already know in their heart? Like, I don't want to say something to you because you might get mad and not talk to me or tell my boss that I did that or what, you know, whatever. But if you're going to do it, I'm going to do it too. And that's how it worked out here, man. Paul was preaching the gospel to the guard, to the people that were holding him captive because he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching to them. And it says some of them actually came to the Lord because of it. Some of them came to Christ because he was able to speak out. Seeing Paul preach Christ before the highest officers and dignitaries in the Roman government inspired many to speak boldly. Speak the word of God without fear. Revelations 2:10 says, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death and I will give you a crown of life. Be faithful to God and he'll see you through it. Be faithful to him in the middle of it. And he'll see you through it. Philippians 1:15-16. Paul says this. He says, some indeed preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am here for the defense of the gospel. Again, everyone involved knew that Paul was there because of the gospel. Everyone knew that. And some of them loved him and supported him behind it. Others, it says, the former proclaimed Christ, verse 17, out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. In that I rejoice. Yes, and I rejoice. He said, I don't care how they're preaching Christ as long as they're preaching him. I don't care if they're doing it because they want to hurt me. I don't care if they're doing it because of, I just care that they're talking about Christ and talking about how good he is and talking about what he can do. Their heart behind the matter, I don't care about. But you know what? This is the thing, man. The inside will always be revealed on the outside over time, right? The inside of why we're doing the things that we're doing, the reasons, the motives behind why we're doing will always come to light. It always does. It always does. Sometimes years later when you're sitting around with the whole family at dinner at mom's house. You know, sometimes that happens. Sometimes it comes out in ways we don't want it to come out, right? Sometimes, that's why it's important, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to stop. Let's go to verse 19. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. And as an eager, my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether I live or whether I die. Paul's saying right there, man, God is in control of all of these things. And whether I live or whether I die, I'm still going to serve him. Remember last week we talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't care if he's going to bring me through or he's not, but I'm still going to serve him. I'm still going to be here. See, our relationship with Christ should not be contingent on what he's going to do tomorrow in my life. If that's the relationship that you have, any relationship, that's the wrong relationship. Relationship isn't about what they can give you. It's about what can be accomplished together with both of you standing side by side. Marriage, same way. Relationships, same way. Our relationship with God should be about me loving him, giving him the glory and honor and serving him. And whatever he does for me in return, that's just extra, right? If God never did another thing for me, right, from this moment on, I'd be sad. I ain't lying. I'd be sad. But I wouldn't change my mind about who he is, about what he's done in my life, about what he's brought me from, the things that he's placed into my life, who he is. I wouldn't change today. If you could prove to me today that God was not real and didn't exist, I would not change how I'm living right now one bit. Why? Because this God that you say don't exist has changed me in so many different ways that no matter what you say, I see him. I know it. And guess what? Can't take that away. It's always there. We need to remember that in the difficult times. When we go through those things, we need to remember. Again, going back to last week, that's what the memory is about. That's why we have it. That's what it's there for, to help us remember. God is in control. Paul understood that. And man, whatever God wanted, he knew that that was what was going to be the best for him. Whether I die, see, because if I die, I got to be, next verse, I'm getting into it. 21, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. You notice that he didn't just say that's work for me. If I stay here, I just got to work. What did he say? Fruitful work. Fruitful work. Fruitful labor. There's something going to be attained because I'm here doing what God asked me to do. Lives are going to be changed. People are going to see freedom in their life because of what I am able to do. Now, that's not a brag on himself. That's a brag on God. He's saying, look, man, no matter if I'm here or I'm gone, I'm still going to serve him and I'm going to still do whatever he asked me to do. And it's going to bring fruit. Again, in order to please God, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When we do the things he asks us to do, he does reward us. His word says it over and over and over. We need to remember that. And Paul knew that, man. He said, I'm here. I'm where I'm at. Man, if I die today, okay, that's great because I get to go see Jesus. I get to hang out with him. If not, then I'm going to stay here and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure everybody else goes to see him too. That was the goal of his life. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that would be far better for me. How many of you know, being beaten, being crippled, they say Paul was so crippled up that you couldn't hardly see him. His back was broken from being beat so many times that his body was messed up and mangled. He had pain. He had issues. He had problems. Why? I mean, you get hit with a rod 39 times, five times, right? You get all these things happening to you. You get stoned once, you know? I don't even want to get hit with a pebble, much less a bunch of stones, you know what I'm saying? I'm sad when they kick sand on me, you know? It's bad. But be stoned. Be beaten. And then understand that no matter what's going on, no matter what state I'm in, God is still greater, and I'm still going to be here to serve him. Regardless. Once again, we see his frame of mind here. And you know how all preachers have like one thing that's like their thing that they talk about all the time. You know what mine is, I think? I'm just thinking. I have a couple of them, I guess. But one of them is that it's not about me. We need to learn that as Christians. It's not about me. It's not about me. Now, I have freedom, and I've been saved, and it's here. But as soon as I give my life to Christ, do you know what he asked me to do? The same thing that he did. What did he do? He was even willing to lay down his life for us. Are we at that point to follow him, where if it was necessary, we would lay down our life for others? It's one of those things. Paul's like, man, no matter what, I'm in 100%. You can't stop me. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And there's nothing that could be done or said that's going to sway me from following Christ with everything that I have. No issues, no problems, no people backbiting me or stabbing me in the back while I'm turning around. None of that is going to stop me from still focusing and staying on task. You know, one of the verses that's been really big in my life the last week is Exodus 14:14. And it says, you don't have to fight your battle, just be quiet. That's my translation, right? No need to fight, just shut up. That's how I read it to me, right? Just if you start talking, I'm going to let you go, and you ain't going to be able to handle it like I can. So just stop, right? So that's one of the big things that's here. And Paul's like, man, listen, no matter what's happening, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to talk about how good God is, but I ain't going to let nothing else stop me. I'm not going to let anything else take my focus off of what God called me to do. Because some of you know, a lot of times the situation of what's going on around you will take your focus on off of the vision that God's given you to carry out. And that's the enemy. He'll put things in your face to take your focus on that you'll put in more of a priority than doing what God has asked you and called you to do. But you know what? If you scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. You focus on God, and he's going to take care of that over there, right? Focus on God. Let him do it. God is in control, and Paul understood that more than anything. Then it says this in verse 25, I'm convinced of this. I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ because of my coming to you again. All these things I'm going to do, and it's going to be great. You're going to be happy because I just get to come back and hang out with you guys. How many of you like going home to visit people after a while, right? After you've been gone, it's great to come home. Like when my girls go to Louisiana, they come back, dude, man, I'm so excited. Like, my world's great, right? You know, it was great before they were gone. They just weren't there. But right, my focus is on that, right? Paul's saying, man, look, God's going to free me. He's going to bring me back to you, and he's going to show you his glory and what he's doing in my life. That's what our lives are about, showing God's glory because of what we go through. The next four verses, we're going to go through, talk about conduct worthy of the gospel. So he talks about going through all these things, and then he says, hey, this is what we need to do. This is how we need to act because of these things. Because of the joy that I have, because of these things, this is what I want you to do. This is where he starts to kind of teach them a little bit. He's been talking about all these things have been happening to me. Now I'm going to teach you something. He says this, only let your manner be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for faith of the gospel, and not frightened of anything by your opponents. So I'm gonna take four things out of that little part right there that we need to work on in our lives. You guys ready? And I'm not gonna take too long. I got a little bit, right? First thing that we need to have in our life, we need to have unity in our life. What does he say? Stand firm side by side, having one mind, that you are of one spirit. When God does anything with a group of people in the word, what do you see? With a group of people, you see unity there, right? Again, we talked about that again last week, unity as well. When he put all the people out because did we talk about that or did I talk about that on Wednesday? That might have been Wednesday. Oh, that was Wednesday. All right. I'm going to go back and talk about it then. Y'all ready? My days kind of run together sometimes. It's all good. Y'all know, it happens to y'all too. So, check this out. When the Holy Spirit fell in Acts 2, what happened? It says they were all in one place and all in one accord. We've talked about it over the past couple months, that unity is important. That look at our government, right? All these people meet together and nothing happens. Why? Because this side wants this and this side wants that. When God moves, it's because there's unity and everybody's together, right? Azusa Street, when that happened, what happened? They were all there saying, God, pour out your spirit, pour out your spirit, pour out your spirit. What happened? He poured out his spirit. Wow, that's amazing. God would do that, right? It's amazing. God would do what we asked him to do, right? Man, when we come together in unity, anything is possible, right? When we have discord and there's not unity, it causes problems, right? It causes problems. So Jesus is walking. Jairus comes to him. His daughter's dying. Y'all remember the story? Woman with the issue of blood comes up. He stops and talks with her. Somebody comes from the house and says, your daughter's dead. Don't even bother him anymore. He said, man, you just stop. Let me come with you. This is Toby translation again, y'all. Jesus, stop. Let me come with you, right? He comes to their house. He goes up in there. If you notice when in the story, same thing. Remember I told you guys about how inner circle and how you put people in your life? This is another time that we see he brings only Peter, James, and John with him into the room, right? They go into the room. There's families. There's mourners there. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. She's not dead. She's only resting. And they laughed at him. They laughed at him. And he said, all right, everybody out. you and you stay. Everybody else out. Why? Unity is needed in our lives. When unity is there in Christ, in God, when we stand together, Scripture says there's nothing we can't accomplish. So if it says that, what does that mean? That means if there's not unity, it's going to be hard for stuff to go on. Why do you think Jesus sent them all out? All right, y'all, leave. You don't believe? Get out. Right? And then what happened? He spoke to her. She got up and she walked out. Why? Because those that were there believe, man, as your faith is, so be it. Right? We need to have unity in our lives. That's number two, y'all. I skipped around on y'all. That's B on your notes. I appeal to you, brothers. 1 Corinthians 1:10. I'm going to go back to number one in a second. Sorry, A in a second. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of the Lord Christ Jesus, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. Stand together, man. Stand together. Let's come together in unity. Let's don't worry about some of the differences we have, and let's focus on what we do have in common, and that's Jesus Christ. He died for us. He's the only way to heaven. He forgives you. He forgives me. He forgives me when I forgive you. That's what the Scripture says, right? What does the reverse of that mean? If I don't forgive you, I'm going to let y'all fill in that one. Let me go back to A. The first thing that he tells us in this is that we need to have consistency in our life. I missed that one. Only let your manner be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of you standing firm in one spirit. So whether I'm standing in front of you or not, you're good. I sent this picture to somebody the other day. So there was a picture, and it was a little chihuahua, and it was on the top picture. It was just like, just tearing it up, and it was like me with my mom. And then it was just sitting there all nice and kind when my dad walks in, right? I mean, you know, sometimes we act one way at one time, and it's completely different depending on who's around us, right? Y'all ain't amening on that one. Now y'all are like, nope, not me. I ain't doing it. Y'all, you know that's what happens. Amen. We act one way at one time. We're swatting kids in the back seat, and then we pull on the church parking lot, and everything's great, right? Not me, because I make my kids ride with my wife, man. I ain't doing that. No. But we need to be consistent in season and out of season. When we're at work, we need to be the same we are sitting in these pews right here. When we're at home with just our family, we need to be the same we are when we're out in public. We need to be consistent. And that's what Paul's telling them, man. Like, look, whether I'm here, whether I'm there, man, I want you to act in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. If we think about it, look at our lives. Is my life, am I living in a life that's worthy of Christ dying for me? Is my life worthy of that? Most of us, if we answered honestly, we have to say, no, I got some stuff I got to work on. I got some stuff I got to fix. Be honest. I'm be honest. Y'all are holy, but I'm honest. Right? Just kidding. Consistency. We need to be the same way here as we are outside, as we are at home, as we are around our friends, as we are around our friends that don't go to church. Right? Because how are they going to learn about Christ if you change the way you act in front of them so that you act more, make them more comfortable? Right? Don't make them uncomfortable. Make them as comfortable as you can being who Christ called you to be. Because of that, it'll cause a change. Because of that, it'll cause a change. Consistency. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Everything we do, God brings good out of it. When we follow him, man, lives are changed. Whether they're changed today or down the road, we have an impact on people all around us. We need to remember that. We need to be consistent. A, B, have unity. The next thing that we see in there, in that verse, is that we're not to have fear. Right? No fear. That's C in your notes. No fear. And not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation that is from God. Hey, man, we need to stop being scared about sharing Christ to people, right? Number one reason why people don't share Christ with other people is, one, they're afraid they're going to mess something up. They're going to say the wrong thing, right? Number two, they're afraid that they're going to be laughed at and ridiculed. Or said, don't talk to me no more about that, right? But wouldn't it be a shame if we let our fear stop someone else from finding Christ? Wouldn't it be a shame if we let our fear stop us from allowing someone that's going through a rough time to have freedom in their life because we didn't speak the word that the Holy Spirit told us to because he was moving on their life at that moment? And they were going to be ready to accept it, but we didn't take the opportunity to do it because we were scared. I saw this video yesterday. It was a dad. He jumped over a pool fence to catch his kid because his kid fell in the pool. Y'all saw that one? What would have happened if his dad would have been scared of jumping over the fence and took time to run around and unlock it and get in there and all of that? Look, he didn't care. He just knew that there was a need. And that death was going to come unless something happened. And because of that, he overcame his fear. Y'all know, in our lives, death is going to happen. We need to overcome our fears and step out, regardless of what it is. Man, I'm going to say the wrong thing. That's okay. Make them start thinking. They'll get in the word. Then you can go, well, you know what? I said the wrong thing. Let me fix it. This is what it actually says. That'll help you too. Two birds, one stone, right? That'll help you too. You'll get to learn something. Do you know what Paul says in another scripture? He says, oh my goodness, I was going to go there and I just lost it. Study to show yourself approved, a workman not needing to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So if you study, you won't be ashamed, right? If you get nervous and say the wrong thing, you say, wait, I'm kind of nervous. I haven't done this before, but I it's important that you know Christ. So I'm going to tell it to you. And then if you want, you and I can sit down and look through it together, right? We'll find it together. Well, I have this question. I don't know that answer. Let's go look it up, right? Don't say, I'll go talk to somebody who knows and get back with you. Say, let's look it up. Let's try and find it together. I'll go home and try and find it, right? Then you can call somebody who's like, man, listen, this is what happened. This is what they said. I don't know how to handle it. That's how you learn. That's how you grow. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't let fear stop us from allowing others to know love, grace, and mercy. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear in the dread of them, for it's the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Scripture talks about how the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that we need when we need them. So when we start talking, when he's asking us to step out there and say something, he don't just be like, all right, go say something. Like, I don't know what to say. Just go say something. I'll be with you. All right, let's watch this. That's not how he does it, right? That's not how he does it. That's how we might do it sometimes, but that's not how he does it, right? He stays right there with you, and when something comes up, it'll just come into your mind. You'll be like, how on earth? That's why I chase so many squirrels, because a lot of stuff comes in my mind, and I'm like, well, maybe I'm supposed to say that. Let's do it, right? I'd rather say it than not and miss it. You know, I did that the other day. We had something happen, and I was like, you need to say something. I didn't say something, and it happened a different way. And then I talked to another person. They were like, I was supposed to do what you just said, what just happened, but I was scared. And I was like, you know what? They were scared. If I would have said what I was supposed to say, they wouldn't have been scared, and they would have done what God called them to do. Instead, somebody else had to do it, right? That happened in this building, right, a little while back. We need to be obedient and not live in fear, man. We need to let God use us. We need to last one, stand strong. We need to stand strong. Ephesians 6:13 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Paul's saying, man, I'm in the middle of all this mess, but I'm still going to stand up. It might look ugly because I'm deformed right now because I've been beat a lot, but I'm still going to stand up. I might limp a little bit as I'm going across that line, but I'm going to walk across that line. There's nothing that's going to stop me. I'm going to stand strong. Regardless of the opposition that comes at me, regardless of what people say about me, regardless of what's going on, Paul said, I'm going to stand, and I want to see you do the same thing. And you know what? We're going to do this together. Not only is God on your side, but I am too. I'm there. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says this, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Ladies, you don't have to act like men, but you should still be strong, right? Stand up, man. Be who you're supposed to be. Do what God has called you to do. Because you know what? If in this country, God's people would stand up and just do what he asked them to do, it'd be a whole nother outpouring, a whole nother level in this country. But there's a lot of fear that happens. There's a lot of, I don't want to offend people. There's like, I don't want to do this. Look, the gospel does offend people, right? It does. Don't offend them in how you say it. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the offending, right? You just speak the truth in love and let the Holy Spirit convict them and allow them to feel, hey, I need to make a change. It's not right, right? I need to make a change. I need to make a change. Not, I'm going to make a change in you. God help me, right? That's how it happens sometimes. We need to be careful. We need to be careful in how we love people, but we do need to stand strong, man. Don't be afraid. We need to stand in unity, and we need to be consistent in everything that we do. And because of that, what will happen? It will bring glory to God. Amen? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, as we go through your word, man, and look at the different issues and things that Paul faced and how he encouraged the church in the Philippians, Father God, the Philippian church, to look to you in every situation, in every struggle, in the good times and in the bad times, how he encouraged them to stand strong, Father God, and to remember the good things that you've done and to walk in them, Father God, and to allow different things to happen in our lives and us to be changed, God. But help us be consistent in our lives, whether we're here or at work or at home, in front of this person or that person. Most importantly, when we're by ourselves, God, help us to be consistent in you. I ask that you would help us stand in unity together, man, not pick out the weaknesses and the issues of other people and point them out, but stand beside them and try and help them be who you created them to be. Again, as your word says, stir up the love and good works in each other. God, I ask that you would help us with that. I ask that you allow us to not be afraid to share your word, your gospel, how good you are to us and to others, to help us not be afraid to speak your name and how good you are. Help us not be ashamed of our lives. Help us to study, get in your word, and find out what your word says. Rightly divide it, Father God, so that we can stand in front of people and proclaim your word and not have to worry about standing by ourselves, being left alone. I said you would help us with that, Father. Heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you guys a question. I talk about how good God is and about what he's done in my life and the change, and we talk about the freedom that he's given to us, and today you be honest and say, you know what, I've never accepted that freedom. I may have said a prayer and said, be my Savior, but I've never given him the place of Lord in my life. And today I want to do that. Today I want to surrender everything I have to him. You be honest. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody looking. You say, that's me. That's me. I want to give my life to Christ today. Just put him up, put him back down. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. Somebody else. Thank you. I want you guys to all say this prayer after me. It's not this prayer that saves you, but the scripture says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, then we'll be saved. That's what we're going to do right now. Say, dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins. Things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. You sent your son to die for me. In my place, to cover my sins, to give me access to you. And then you rose him again. And he's seated next to you. And I have forgiveness. And I have access. Help me be who you created me to be. I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed still. I got one more thing. You're living in fear of sharing the gospel. You're living in fear, period, in your life. And you want that to be gone. Again, the word says, ask and you receive. If you ask God to help you with that, he will stand beside you. He will help you. The scripture talks about the Holy Spirit giving us power to be his witnesses. You want that this morning. You want to be able to stand and not be afraid. You want to have help. You want to help others see how great God is, but you're afraid. And you want that to be gone. Just put your hand up. Put it back now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, man, you saw the hands that were raised. You know where we're at. You know our lives. You know the consistency of them, Father God, and you know everything about us more so than we do, Father. I ask that you would help us all now stand without fear, stand boldly and proclaim how good you are, not just with our mouths, Father God, but let our actions speak way louder than our words, because they already do anyway, God. Help our actions to point towards you. Help our attitudes to stay right, Father God. Help the way we deal with situations. And allow us in doing everything to still stand, Father, for you in all that we do. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you guys, listen. 12 o'clock, it's 11. We got an hour before we're going to do our baptism out at Nick and Linda's house. If you would look outside again on that table is a kindergarten map for you guys to follow to get out there. Again, if you didn't bring any food or you don't have any stuff to bring with you, man, don't let that stop you. Come and hang out and have a good time. We've got a lot of stuff going on. We've got a lot of fun times to do, and I'd like to hang out with you guys, man, get to know you a little bit better. So I'm going to pray one more time and dismiss us, and then we're going to sing one more song, stand up and sing one more song before we go out of here, and then we're going to go out and be bold for him today. Amen? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for today, for your love, your grace, your mercy, Father God, in our lives, and that we get to be used by you to share your love, grace, and mercy with other people, Father God. I ask that you would help us do that, not only in our speech, but more so in our actions. Allow us to be consistent as we go through our day, and let our focus be on finding you and the joy that you've placed in our lives, that you've given to us in every situation. Help us with that, Father. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.